Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got a wonderful show for you today. January 20th is going to be turn your TVs off and let's disrupt this inauguration. Well, my TV is going to be off because I'm damn working like most conservatives, you know. But I'll get into that. Also, at least 30 Democrats. Lawmakers are planning to skip the Trump inauguration. And this is not nothing new, but grow up. None of the Republicans should have skipped Obama's and vice versa. You should be there out of respect, even if you disagree. As a kid, many of us grew up wanting to go to the moon. Glenn Simon was the last man in 1972 to walk on the moon with NASA. He has died at 82. I'll get into that. So you don't want to perform at Trump's inauguration because it's against your beliefs, but you're going to force me to bake a cake for something that I don't agree with, and you think they're both the same? I'll get into that. Hard to believe, but 146 years ago, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus started, and they're closing their doors this year, and I'll get into that in my experiences. A Talladega college, which is mostly black, thanks to the O'Reilly factor, has massively increased their fundraising to be able to play at the inauguration. Holy cow. Trump is racist, but he's having a mostly black college perform at his... Wow, that kind of doesn't make sense, does it? That's because he's not. Supposedly, CNN and BuzzFeed have come out and say with 48 hours before the inauguration, they have damaging video of Trump. I'm like, okay, start the impeachment process now. What the heck? It's not like you're going to get Hillary or Bernie in there. But, I mean, whatever. They're just trying to do anything they can to make this country terrible again because their candidate lost and they haven't changed their diapers. Also, big events in NASCAR and the English Premier League. So let's get started, folks. Psalms, Book 1, 141. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked and stand around with sinners or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day to day, because I know some of you probably in some part of your life probably were around the wrong crowd or doing shady stuff, and you know, when you grew up and now you're doing the right things. So welcome to the program, folks. I still have not heard comment back, so I have shut someone up when they were like, well, you know, we're going to turn our TV off. And they said, well, I didn't agree with Obama at all, but I watched the inauguration. I was man enough to sit there and watch and say, you know, hey, you know, it's called R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Aretha Franklin taught me that one. One question I want to get, and I've done this, I think, every year since I started this conversation. Would Barack Obama or Al Sharpton or any one of those, would Martin Luther King stand with them? Think about that one. And I'll give you my answer here in a little bit. But turn your TV off day on January 20th? Of course. I'll be at work. I got a job. My wife's got like 49 jobs. My wife got an award for selling $1 million worth of furniture in a year. The first person to do it in like 12 years. Four years. Yeah, I mean 2012.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But, I mean, see, we work. I mean, I can understand the people that are not going to watch the TV because they're going to watch all their freebies going down the drain. I mean, that's why college kids are sick, because Hillary Clinton was going to keep one promise of Bernie Sanders: free education, free college, free everything. And guess what? The college that he started in Vermont, it's closing. I wonder why. Gee. And let me see here. Let me see. Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton. Obama. I know Martin Luther King wouldn't stand with them. Those race baiters. Martin Luther King was better than that. He wanted all men to be created equal. Not just whoever fits his agenda. He was about walking toe-to-toe with men, women, and children of any race, color, and creed. Yes, I know it's a day late and dollar short, but so many people don't believe this, but there's actually photos out there that says, "Welcome to Kenya, birthplace of Barack Obama." And that's nothing new to you guys, because on the program, I've said that for the longest time. If you look at the newspaper of the national paper of Kenya, they had a thing that said, "Our native-born son is now the leader of the free world," bragging like, "Hey, don't sit down. If he can become the leader of America and the president of America, don't say you can't accomplish anything." But, of course, who cares? You know, he's a Christian. Okay. I mean, that's what they try to tell you, these double standard Democrats that, you know, I love them. I love these double standard Democrats, you know, I really do. I mean, 30 Democrats or lawmakers plan not to attend the Trump inauguration? Okay, don't. I mean, it's not historic. It's not like this is the first time it's ever happened. But, I mean, grow up. If you truly have some, I mean, what could be more important? If your wife's in labor and you want to be at the hospital with her, okay. But other than that, you don't really have. Lee Greenwood's even said that some of these entertainers that are backing out, you know, they're going to wish they would have done it. No, if they're not if they're a conservative and they backed out for whatever reason, then yeah, but if it's a liberal, they'll never support Trump. They'll never say he was good no matter what happens, no matter how great this country is. Like I told one of my friends, I said, Barack, and I've said this on the program, Barack Obama could have given everyone in this country a $7 an hour job working 20 hours a week. And how's that going to, zero unemployment rate, but doesn't solve. I mean, how can you live on that? You know, I mean, but that's just how the cookie crumbles, you know. I think they're going to be sorry. You know, I wish we could have a society where Democrats could come out and say, you know what, I was wrong about Trump. I mean, I would say that about Barack Obama if he had done a good job. I gave him the benefit of the doubt probably more than most. I'm like, I really think he's going to be bad, but I'm just hoping that he's at least going to be a cheerleader to try to turn this country around. And he just divided it. And I was wrong. But that's how it goes. And that's how it goes. That's how But you look at, I gave him a chance at least. I didn't just shut the door and say, okay, he's going to be the worst president ever, I don't care, whatever, as some of these people have done with Trump. No, I gave him a chance. I pray to God he's not going to be what I think he's going to be, but I hope and pray he's not. But I have a feeling I'm in for a long 8 years, and I was. But then I'm one of those people. There was one of my friends told me this one time, and I'm 99% sure this is actually correct, because I've seen this before. If you're going up for re-election and you're at war, 9 times out of 10, basically you'll get the presidency, because they don't want to change hands during war unless it's 8 years into your presidency and you're stepping down. If you look at the stock market the day Trump's elected president, if it's higher on the day he's up for re-election, he'll get it 9 times out of 10. If not, he won't. So these are all things that, you know, you look at stuff like that. And most people say, okay, would you say after 4 years you're better off, or 8 years are you better off? And like I said before, go 8 years of Clinton, 8 years of Bush, and 8 years of Obama, 24 years, I don't think I'm better off. And I shocked someone when I said that, because I'm like, they didn't know what to think, because I'm like, well, here's the thing. I'm not dissing. George Bush would be 100% better than Barack Obama, but still wasn't perfect. Far from it. Same thing with, you know, Ronald Reagan wasn't perfect, but he was really, 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 really good. He's what this country needed, and we need someone like that, which I kind of feel like a lot of people are saying that Trump is going to be another Ronald Reagan. And we need that in this country. We need someone that wants that has a love for America, that wants to put God first and bring us together, not divide us. I'm going to get into this because I'm talking about it. But Jennifer Holliday turned down, well, she actually accepted the inauguration, the ability to, yeah, I'm going to play and do the inauguration and all this stuff. And you find out that, okay, let me go bring this up, that she actually turned it down. Like, what do you mean? She turned down playing for the inauguration, and there's a reason why. Sad reason why, but very sad reason why. She had death threats. It had gotten out of hand. They were saying I should kill myself, or someone should kill me over singing a song. I said I just wanted to sing, Holliday explained. She got out of it because she was having death threats. Really? That's beyond childish. That's sad and pathetic. Oh, because I don't remember hearing about death threats against people that were going to sing for Obama. No, because, we've grown up. You know, we're not babies. So what? That's the difference. I'll make that couple of cake. I may not agree with their choice. I have friends that are bi, lesbian, pansexual, all that stuff. They're great people. I have nothing against them. It's not my lifestyle. I've got a wife. But I'm not going to diss them. If they want a cake, I'll do it. No problem. I'll stand with them, not against them. A liberal will want you to stand with them, but if it's something that they disagree with, you know, they're not going to stand with this person. If it's against their liberal ideology belief, they won't stand with this person, where a conservative will stand with them. They may not agree with them, but hey, I'll stand with you because, you know, you shouldn't be treated like you're treated. There's a big difference. Big difference, folks. But this is kind of this is kind of sad. A Democrat, John Lewis, did not remember that he skipped George W. Bush's inauguration. Yeah, he just kind of forgot that one. You know, like Trump said in an interview, he goes, you know, that's something I've been to inaugurations. That's something I'll remember for the rest of my life. But, you know, oops, did I not go? Oh, I forgot. How can you not? Lord, it's just pathetic. You know, that's why it's sad that these Democrats aren't coming. And I said that to someone earlier today, and they said, well, Republicans, you know, didn't go to Obama's. I'm like, yeah, that's wrong. They should have been there out of respect. You may not agree with the person, but you should be there out of respect. You know, like in football, you touch a referee in football, you get a red card and you're thrown out of the game. Reason why is because in that stadium are probably thousands of kids and they look up to you. And if you touch or try to do anything to attack authority, you're seen as someone that's a role model, that's looked up to. That's why. Kids are looking at these congressmen and senators as role models. I hope not. Oh, well, I don't believe in Trump, so I'm not just going to go that. I'm not going to go. That doesn't, you know. I don't support this, so. You know, I would teach my kid if I had one. You may not agree with her, but, you know, stand up. Be the better man. Don't be that little childish kid. I mean, what are we teaching our young ones? Here's a trophy. You get one the same size as first place just for participating. You know, what are these? I mean, that's why I think there needs to be harsher penalties in major league sports in this country when, you know, when people are, oh, I'm a football player and I got millions of dollars, so I can beat my wife up and not get away with it and get away with it, and I can do whatever I want. And you don't think that kids are looking up to you and going to mimic what you do? It's sad. I mean, at least kids aren't watching the news that much and probably won't understand, you know. But I didn't realize that. I forgot that I didn't. I skipped George W. Bush's inauguration. You didn't know. You knew dang well. But hey, whatever, you know. It's kind of like Fast and Furious. Eric Holter can't know what's going on because he'll be in trouble, but he has to know because he's running the thing. I mean, I'd have more respect for John Lewis. Yeah, I didn't go. I didn't go to his inauguration. I didn't support him. At least he's being honest. Not necessarily that that's the right answer either. Like the old saying goes, politicians need to be changed just like diapers, frequently and often for the same reason, because they're full of it. Well, due to scheduling conflicts, Garth Brooks actually can't play at the inauguration, and he said this. He said, may God hold Trump's hand in the decisions that he makes in this country's name. And it's nice to have at least one person that I've heard of giving him well wishes. Saying, I can't be here, but God bless you. You know, and I think if you're just a regular person, even some of these conservatives, these liberals, may sit there and say, you know, I wish I would have played at this inauguration. I wish I wouldn't have just turned it down. But it's one of those, Barack Obama was the first black president. Okay, well, Kellyanne Caldwell, you know, Trump's campaign manager, was the first woman to successfully lead a presidential campaign. and win. But where's that? Why ain't that all over the news? Where's that? Because it doesn't fit their agenda. I mean, it doesn't fit their agenda because I have people that call me a racist because I disagree with Barack Obama, but I like Herman Cain.
Ben Carson?
Yeah. I supported Ben Carson and I supported Herman Cain. But while Ben went, I just, oh, it's just, a, it's sad. It's sad. I just want to read this because this is, one of my friends posted this and this is the truth. This is just amazing. Because, you know, like I've said, let me get this to come up here. Here we go. How did we go from Martin Luther King Jr. to Barack Obama? Easy, Kyle. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christian. He had a dream for peace between all people. Obama is not a Christian. He's a nightmare. That wants to divide the people. Together as one, divided we fall. And it's the truth. It's the truth. You know? Martin Luther King didn't damage anything. He didn't destroy anything. He changed the world. Look at all those Democrats walking with Barack Obama. They didn't have fear in their eyes. All those supporters walking with Martin Luther King had fear in their eyes. When's the bullet going to come to my head? Are they going to be arrested? Are they going to get beaten? Are they even going to have a say-so? So I grew up in a more simpler time when there wasn't all this care in the world. And like when you're a kid, I just remember like, look at that guy. We all wanted to go up into space, but we didn't want to do that G-force machine where you sit in that chair and it goes around. And if you ever watch Spies Like Us, yeah, that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to go up into space because that was like the neatest thing. And, you know, to see the last astronaut from 1972 to walk on the moon, Glenn Simmons, passed away at 82. And it's just to see people that you looked up to and people that like you remember as a kid, like, you know, when you hear stories from your mom or your grandma that they just stared at the TV and they would go outside and they're like, look, up there, they're on the moon. And just, but now you don't see that anymore. There's, I mean, what's our big goal? To make America great. Finally, we got something, because I don't remember Barack Obama saying, yes, we need to do something. All I remember him hearing was, yeah, we got lots of issues with race and stuff. We've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go. And we need to tackle stuff that, for the most part, I believe was tackled. It wasn't perfect. But he wasn't. I didn't see. At worst, I thought we would have a cheerleader out of him. Someone that's going to motivate this country to go forward. And it just seemed like he just pushed us backwards. And it's what I've seen, not what, I mean, I believe it, but then I've seen it. That's why we have Trump. Because we're tired of all this whiny BS crap. I don't know if I can finish college now, because Trump, of course you can't finish college, because Hillary Clinton was going to give it to you for free. Now you actually have to earn it. You actually have to go and work and pay off a loan. That's how the world works. That's how the world works, folks. I know I've got plenty of loans, but hey. But, you know, that's what a mortgage is. It's basically a loan you pay every month so you have a place to live.
On Inauguration Day, Trump is going to be using two very special Bibles. The Bible that Abraham Lincoln used. No, the Bible that his mom gave him when he finished Sunday Church Primary School back in 95.
So it changed? Because I heard he was going to use Ronald Reagan's Bible.
Yeah, he's using Abraham Lincoln's.
Well, what was that used at Reagan's also, maybe? I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But that's just, I mean, that's the kind of man he is. He respects his past. I mean, that's just, see, this guy's a billionaire. If I was him, I'd be sitting on the beach drinking Cristal 5 bottles a day, kicking it. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to do any of this.
It doesn't say anything about Ronald Reagan.
We'll have to look that up and get back with y'all on Tuesday on that one, but.
You mean Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. Thank you. It's been a long day, but it's just one of those things that makes you sit there and go, wow. You know, like someone that cares. I mean, Barack Obama would have been out there. Yes, this is a new 24 karat gold Bible. Oh, I know. Well, the Quran. Okay, excuse me. He had a 24 karat Quran. But yeah. Anyways, it's just amazing that we have someone that's doing all this for the right reasons. I feel like for the first time where I have hope, like something's going to be changed, done, and for the good. You know, hey. I feel like Kennedy when he's like, you know, if I was alive and he, you know, like, we need to send a man to the moon and all this stuff. And then you have somebody like Trump is like, hey, I want to make America great. I want to do this. I want to do that. And this was kind of a weird shocker. After 146 years, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is actually come May closing their doors. And they've actually cited, because I was part of this, they got rid of the elephant show because the abuse that they give those elephants, because they don't just stand up on their hind legs. They'll put like electrodes on their feet so when they step down, they'll get zapped to keep their legs up and stuff. And they don't live a great life. It's just like go to SeaWorld. Go to one of those places and they'll be like, well, we lost this whale today. And thanks to being at SeaWorld, it was able to live 36 great years. I'm like, I want to go to one of those. Because they say, excuse me, in the wild, they can live to be over 100. So if you think being in here, living to 36 years old, is who's telling you to say that? Because in the wild, they found whales that are 100 years old plus. But it's closing its doors. But then there's so much other media. The ticket sales are down. I mean, it's not like when I was a kid, when that was like the thing to see. You know, when I went, because I think it was in fourth grade I went. They came to Indianapolis and we all got on the bus like Saturday and we went down for like you paid for a ticket and you went down on Saturday and we saw like a daytime show. Don't really remember much about the circus thing, but oh yeah, my wife's saying she went to Kmart to see a circus, and they had the giant midgets and the bearded man, and but yeah. But it was like the thing to do, and all we were more concerned about was hanging out with our friends than really watching the thing. Because, hey, you might be able to, if there's a girl that you liked in the fourth grade or whatever, you might be able to hold her hand or whatever. If you could get up the courage to do that in the on the day trip you had. Wow. Hard to believe. Times are changing. And they gotta change. I mean, because I remember when back in the day when my high school's gymnasium in the 80s would sell out, you couldn't get near it for a basketball game. But it was where you went to meet and talk and what's going on. And now there's probably no one at the games except for maybe some of the students. You know, times are changing. We gotta adapt, folks. Just over 28 minutes in the program left, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in, no matter where you are, West Coast, East Coast, South, North. Thank you for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And this is amazing. There's a Talladega College. It's in Georgia. No, it's in Alabama. It's in Alabama. And it's a mostly black college. And Billy C. Hawkins, the president, was overjoyed after an appearance on the O'Reilly Factor that caused a major spike in the band's funding. And they're going to be at the inauguration and playing and all this. And, you know, a black band. Ooh, wow. A marching band. It's mostly black at Trump's racist inauguration. He's not racist, folks. And it's just awesome. I mean, they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. And that's what happened. I mean, you get on O'Reilly Factor, those are the type of people that watch Fox News. Or, hey, I'm going to help out. I'm going to give back. Because this is about America. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about all of us. How can, if someone can help us out, me and my wife, sure. I have no problem with it. Or vice versa. If I can help someone else out, if I can buy a vet's dinner, why not? Let him know that he's not invisible, that he's back. That's one good thing about a Navy sailor. You won't see him. You won't see his skitties. They're going to be under his pants. I saw someone there. This is no joke. Because I don't know why it made me think of this. But the other day, there was a guy that was trying to push his car. And had like pants. Like if you've ever seen where the boxers and where the length of the boxers is. I mean, pretty much, you could see 95% of his boxers. He had his pants down that low and he's trying to push his car. I'm like, really? First of all, pull up your pants. And you might be able to have, because I think his car was having issues. And it's like, how? I couldn't even walk. That would be, I don't get that, you know? If my pants were like that, I'd be like, ugh, I gotta pull those things up. Like, I guess I need suspenders on top of a belt and my hands in my pockets. Something. I don't get that. I mean, if I wasn't going to work and should have been there, I would have, yeah, I should have just, I'm gonna be late. There's a guy that's like a, he's got his flashers on, so I'm going to help him. What they've always told me to do is the police always told me, if you ever see someone like that, just call the police and they can come out. And that way, if they're trying to entrap you or whatever, and like when you go to help them, they pull out a gun and take your wallet and run, you know, something like that. That make sure that don't happen. But it's just, just one of those things that when you look at it, you know, I see so much hope now. You know, someone that actually wants to do something and be there and help out. I'm just wondering, because supposedly CNN, the Communist News Network, and BuzzFeed supposedly say they have damaging video of Trump that they're going to release 48 hours before the inauguration. We'll see tomorrow. I mean, really, like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, you're going to, okay, folks, this is what we got here, folks. Because of this damaging video, we're going to have to put Hillary Clinton as president right now. And we're going to have to switch him out. It's not going to happen. I don't know what they're, excuse me, what kind of games they're trying to play. I don't know. I don't get it. See, the thing I have a problem with is this. You know, you can say that birth certificate crap. Well, you're not too concerned about Trump's tax returns, but you were all over Obama for his birth certificate. Well, he was born in Kenya. Don't take my word for it. Take the nation of Kenya. Okay. It's their words, not mine. Just read the newspaper article. But hey, what difference does it make at this point? Well, it makes a big difference in terms of this. You're gonna go off on Trump about things that are unsubstantiated. We've got proof. It's just like they had a special one time where they had all these Secret Service people that said when George Bush got into the White House, finally honor and respect was restored. They said, one guy said that he would literally, if he knew Hillary Clinton was coming up these stairs, he would bolt to get away from her, run down the steps, get as far away from her as possible. No. And there was fighting, and they would sit there and, like, okay, if she was drinking, they would try to put sedatives in her drink to calm her down, knock her out, basically, because she was getting violent. You know, of course, you know, Trump's not screwing anybody but his wife. Now, Bill Clinton, he's screwing everyone but Hillary. Of course she's going to be PO'd. But hey, what do you know? It's almost like, but then she went and threatened all those people if they come out about Bill. You know, that shows you there that something happened. But who cares? Who cares? It's just gonna be nice, in my opinion, to have a real first president that will salute the military as he leaves the plane and have respect. And not just play golf. You mean to tell me that I have to stop my golf game because an American was beheaded? I thought you said it was something important. And that's how it seemed with Obama. To stop a golf game because an American was beheaded. Just sad. Here you got a billionaire that could sit on a beach, do whatever he wants, but he's running for the highest office in the land, giving up his company to his family to run. And there you go. And do all this stuff. He didn't have to do any of this. I mean, if I had that kind of money, I don't know what. I'd have to do something to keep me occupied, but still, you know? Yeah. I'd volunteer somewhere. Like, How you doing, man? I'm gonna work at the soup kitchen. Do something. But that's us. Not this wonderful world of liberals that just, if you agree with them, it's great, but if you don't, Lord help you. I just got to get into this because my wife's neck was bothering her, so this is how much she has changed. My wife, like, don't like needles, and she had acupuncture today. 6 needles, like 2 in her wrists and like 4 in her neck. And I'm like, she's like, has it been 10 minutes? Has it been? And I'm like, wow. I mean, I was like proud of her for doing it, at least stepping out of her box. You know, but, I mean, I don't know how well that works per se, like if you're really tense like that, or because I've had it done, I'll just like fall asleep. And if you're in the Lafayette area, and some of you local listeners, check out Klein Chiropractic. I've used them. My wife used them today. I went to school with the guy, so it's a great guy. And one time, he put the needles in me, put ice on my back and stuff, and on my legs. I turned the lights out, and next thing I know, 45 minutes later, he's turned on the lights. Oh, forgot about you. And I'm like, you can just leave the light off. I'm like in heaven. But I don't know if the needles, if leaving them in there longer is any more beneficial. Like if it's like, if 10 minutes is like the max, no matter how, like anything over 10 minutes, you're not doing any more benefit or not. I don't know. But it will, I love it. It's relaxing. But everybody's different. Some people, it would not be relaxing. Some people, you know, you can sit there and, you know, punch him in the shoulder and it would hurt. And other people are like, oh, yeah, dude, that feels good. That's like at least, if, you know, whatever. Some people like tickling, some don't. It's just some people like needles, some don't. So it's one of those things that, yeah, it just depends on. And I think for someone like her, or you would have to do it a bunch to where you get used to it, if you ever could. And it may be something that, no, you're just going to be so tense and stressed out that it's not worth it. But anyways, yeah, she did. But this is kind of shock. When I got this, because I was talking to my friend Robin at work, I'm like, did you hear? And she goes, why is he quitting? Carl Edwards is retiring after 12 years. The backflip kid is no more. I've got to see him do his backflip. That's just, I couldn't do that, but hey, that's just cool. But it's hard to believe he was retiring, and he said he's accomplished all he's wanted to. He wants to stay safe. I think in the midst of some of these people that have these incidences and IndyCar and stuff, hey, I've done what I want to do. I've gotten the joy out of it that I want to. I've got a family now I got to think about. It's not just about me. You know, it's not just about, you know, some of these, you know. But it's just kind of shock. Because then a lot of people are like, okay, what next? Like, you know, because a lot of people feel like the field's beginning to thin. Okay, Carl Edwards is gone. Tony Stewart's gone. Jeff Gordon's gone. What's next? But to me, I think it's going to be kind of neat because then you're going to get some new, like, Busch drivers, basically. I forget, the Xfinity Series. That get to move up and we get to have some new fresh blood and see what they can do. Dale Sr. was an incredible driver. Jimmy Johnson's an incredible driver. And it's going to be neat to see who's next. I mean, very interesting to see who steps up into the shadows. And so it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just hard to believe Daytona's just around the thing. And I told my friend Robin, I'm like, I want to go to the 24-hour Rolex watch. I want to see the whole 24 hours of Rolex at Daytona. And she goes, I've been there. I've done it. I'm like, someday I'll do that. That thing would be kind of cool. Watch the whole thing. Because they've gotten better over the years. Because it used to be on, I don't know what channel if it's even on now, but it used to be on Speed. And on Speed TV, they used to do coverage of it all the way up to like 11 o'clock. And then they stopped and then resumed. So they did from like 4 to like 11. And then from like 6 to like 2 or 3 whenever it started. And then they had it online where you could watch it. And it was like, all it showed was like a camera view inside a guy's car. You couldn't see anything. And people complained. Okay, well, you know, you can have. And then someone goes, we need to have some sort of coverage at night. Because, yeah, it's night for us. But for other countries that are watching their driver, it's the daytime for them. So it's one of those, it's just kind of neat just to watch that, because it's something different than the average race. And you'll get to see IndyCar drivers, Formula One, NASCAR, and it's just fun. It's hard to believe it's going to be another season already. It just seemed like yesterday, you know, Garth Brooks is up there singing the dance for Dale Senior, and I got hooked a long, long, long time ago. Someone asked me how I got hooked. It was a race that was on CBS when I was like 95 or 6. And I'm like, the number 28 car, I want that. That's the one I picked from the beginning, just out of the blue. And he won the whole race. And ever since then, I'm like, cool. But it was so hard to see because it wasn't until 1989 that was the first year, I think it was 89, that they televised every race in the circuit. So up until like the 89-90, you couldn't see every race they did. So, and that's how I got, and plus the 500's right down the road. So, you know, you take a 60-minute jot and you go to that museum and you're at the racing capital of the world. And it's just amazing. Because we took a guy one time from Canada. He came up to pick up a trailer and then was taking it back from my dad when he was up here. He went to the 500 with us. And for me, it's like no big deal. I've been to the 500 so many times. And for him, he's like in awe. Oh, look at, like, he like seeing the cars up close and drivers. And like when there was a downtime in the race, he went down and came back and had all kinds of souvenirs. I mean, I have all kinds of souvenirs, but I don't get as many as I would if it was like the one time I would probably go to it. I mean, I do have a bunch of those like free Chevy shirts and stuff that they hand out, and you know, but it's just because someone asked me one time like how I got into NASCAR, like how I got into watching motorsports, and it was just like fascinating. And then when you go to your first 500 or your first race, and it's like, wow, and you smell the gasoline and cars going by, like, wow. On TV, it doesn't look like they're going that fast, but when you blink and they pass you, it's like, wow. It's an adrenaline rush. And, you know, and at the end of the day, they might not be coming home. IndyCar is not 100% safe. NASCAR is not 100% safe. They have made massive innovations with the Hans device, and a lot of things you have in your car are a direct result of things that they've done from IndyCar and Formula One and NASCAR. I'm going to go on to the English Premier League now, folks, and what a weekend. What a weekend. It was a decent weekend. It was a decent weekend. We didn't get the result we wanted. On Sunday, we tied with Liverpool 1-1, and I really honestly believe if Papa Goa would not have had that handball, which it was, they wouldn't have had that free kick, and I think it could have been 1-0, because they really didn't have that many chances. Yes, yeah, my wife doesn't, but you have to really show that you have no intention of altering the ball if it hits your hand. 9 times out of 10, if it touches your hand, it's a handball. You have to really prove that there's no way. The only way they would really not allow call it a handball is if you were, like, turned away from the ball, and there's no way you could have seen the player or the ball. Everton beat Man City 4-0 on Sunday, which was, wow, that's a surprise. Tottenham beat West Bromwich 4-0. Burnley beat Southampton 1-0. Hull City and Bournemouth. Hull City won 3-1. Stoke City beat Sunderland 3-1. Arsenal beat Swansea 4-0. Watford and Middlesbrough drew at 0. West Ham beat Crystal Palace 3-0. And Chelsea beat Leicester City 3-0. And I think basically the American coach of Swansea, they're going to get rid of him. I don't know if they'll wait till the end of the season or what, but I don't think he's doing enough for them. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But we are right now in the table. We're 6th, 2 back of Man City with 40 points. They have 42. 2 back from... 2 back at 44 is Arsenal. Well, actually, 3 back is Arsenal from Liverpool with 45. Tied with Tottenham Hotspurs with 45. And then Chelsea has 52. I don't think it's going to take something big for Chelsea to... They're going to have an injury or something. They just look too dominant. I know they can't keep winning, but they don't seem to be slowing down either. So it's just going to be interesting. I don't believe we can win the Premier League title this year, but I do believe wholeheartedly we'll get in the top four, if not third place. So it's going to take a slide from Chelsea big time for any team, I think, to really make any headway on Chelsea. And I don't see that. I don't see... Chelsea just seems so good. They're so unstoppable. I mean, they don't really have any issues. Diego Costa is incredible. I mean, Fee Moses, Pedro, they're all just, they got... I just don't see. Alonso is just, I mean, I could just go on and on and on. They're on their game right now. They're doing everything right. And I just hope something happens to shake it up, to make it interesting. Because I don't want to sit there and have like, okay, we got 4 games left in the season, and Chelsea's basically clinched the title. I liked it when there was a year when Manchester United lost on goal difference the title. We lost, and it was like mad, but at the same time, it's like it was so exciting. It was like, yeah, it was close. So there's about 4 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. Wherever you're listening to around the world, hard to believe, but what is it, February 16th? I will be 42 years old. That's less than a month away. So it's just interesting. Hard to believe how time flies. It seems like yesterday I was like 21. Because there's been some people on Facebook posting like, a picture of their high school senior picture and their picture now, and do you see a difference in all this stuff? Yeah, there is a difference. I know, like, when my dad will go up to, like, when we go up to Pennsylvania, she hasn't changed a bit. I'm like, give me your senior photo. I bet you she has. You still see her as the, and recognize her as whatever, whoever that person was, Jane Doe or John Doe, but you know, but they have changed. I mean, if I look at my wife's senior picture, I guarantee you she's changed. But if you knew her from back then, you would still recognize her, and you would probably say she hasn't changed much. But it's just one of those things, hard to believe. Gonna spend those days with my wife, because it's around Valentine's Day. So normally, like, last year I did something, like, I surprised her with a Valentine's Day thing, and then she did something for Valentine's Day on my birthday, so she'll probably do something like that, and, you know, so we'll have to wait and see. We don't know. It's just, you know, we do those, like, I mean, we still sometimes celebrate those, like, month anniversaries. Not as big as we did the first year, but we still do. Oh yeah, we tell each other all the time, and that's what love is. You know, that's what this nation needs. People working together, that's what a relationship is. Two people working together. If you want something, say, hey honey, I want this. Or whatever, you know, hey, this, you know, that's why I'm so excited for this country, because I finally see someone that wants to bring us together and do stuff. You know? I mean, a relationship is great when you can be with someone that accepts you for who you are. That's key. Because I mean, I don't know how many other people hear this, but, like, I hear all the time people complain about my wife or my husband or whatever. I can understand if he farts or something, you know, but when it's something else, I'm like, man, because I'm just so grateful that my wife loves me for who I am, and I love her for who she is, and she don't try to change me, and I don't try to change her, and we work together. And that's what this nation needs, too. We need to come together and just say, okay, let's see what happens when we do it Trump's way. Let's have you sit there and say, okay, well, are we better off objectively? Yes or no? Whether you supported him or not, are we better off? Because if we were better off with Obama, I'd say, yeah, wow, I'm wrong. This nation's better off. But we're not. We're not. You know? So, 2 seconds left, folks, and thank you so much for tuning in. I just want to leave you with encouragement and hope. And just be there for people. Listen. That's the sound of silence. You can have the sound of silence and let someone else talk. Be there for someone. Doesn't take much. It's free to listen. It's free to be there and help someone. You don't have to have money to help somebody move or whatever. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the program that I hope you feel a part of. And with the firm reliance and the protection of divine property, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.